Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 149 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who finally got his boat unstuck from the Suez Canal this week, Brian. Brian, good to see you back on dry land. How are you this week, my friend?
Just happy to be home. Happy to be home.
It was rough. And, you know, it's kind of a thing when you're kind of embarrassed on an international level like that.
Fortunately, you know, when I take time away from my busy schedule so that I can work on a stevedore, what I like to, I use a fake name. So, Buck Largent in Charge is my the name I like to use when I am conducting my maritime affairs. So, you know, I was interviewed by a lot of the international media, but they did not get my real name.
Fair enough. That would be Captain Buck Largent in Charge, correct?
Second Captain. I couldn't, you know, I don't think I could handle that kind of pressure.
All right, understood. Well, let's get things moving here. Let's start off, as always, with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the Week. Sláinte.
Who's? Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what did you bring to the show this week for your drink of the week?
I brought it.
Oh.
I brought it.
You brought it. You done brung it.
After working on cans for the past several weeks, I decided to go back to bottles. These things are sturdy. Coming out of Chicago, Illinois, from our friends over at Moody Tongue Brewing Company, I am working on today a steeped Emperor's Ooh. Lemon Saison.
It's a little, I like the look of that. And you got a fancy glass for your Saison drinking?
Well, the lemon combination within the steeped Emperor's Lemon Saison highlights intense flavors, aromas that are balanced by the acidity and fruit flavors of the Saison yeast and the Sirachi Ace hops. They use a double steep process to showcase the lemon profile, Ron, if you were wondering. And the resulting highlights flavors a lemon meringue pie with the aromatics of a Meyer lemon.
Oh, that sounds very tasty.
Coming in at a 6.3 available year-round. Should I keep talking or would you like me to take
a
sip?
I think you should take a sip and let us know what you think. It's a second sipper.
That is good.
That's usually that good.
I could. That is. You know, it's not a winter beer.
No.
But it's very. It's got a steep lemon flavor to it.
Well, really
you know cool. The aromatics, and the hops.
All right. Well, Brian, this week,
Ron. Ron, excuse me. Yes. Before you go on, I'd like to also just. What are you drinking?
Oh, well, this week, people have started to complain that I'm favoring the local breweries too much. You know, people remind me that we are a national, international really, but a national podcast. We have listeners in 48 out of the 50 states.
We
see you, New Mexico and Wyoming. We see you.
Which states are we left with?
New Mexico and Wyoming.
So you're telling me in the history of 3 years, nobody from Wyoming has downloaded this podcast?
That is correct. Even Hawaii and Alaska have downloaded this podcast, but we get no love from Wyoming and New Mexico.
We get a lot of downloads from Pakistan.
We do, surprisingly enough. But regardless, so I've decided to broaden my beer selection horizons. So I went all the way out to Colorado this week. But the good friends at Breckenridge Brewery, this is their Breck Lager, clocking in at a 4.5%, golden and refreshing with a crisp finish. I have not tried their lager before. I'm a fan of the vanilla porter, but have not done the lager. So let's see.
You know, when you said you were coming in and out of Colorado, I was afraid you were going to show up with a Coors Light.
You know what? I feel like I'm drinking a Coors Light.
I'm sorry, Ron. I know you don't like your lagers. You're not a lot. Listen.
No, don't get me wrong. One of my favorite beers is Lager King. by Broken Goblet. Don't forget. So I am a fan of that. Lager. This one is a little, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not overly strong. Like I said, I feel like I'm drinking a Coors Light.
So just slam it down and move on to something stiffer.
I'll move on to I have another one in the fridge from Breckenridge, one of their strawberry Kolsch beers. So maybe I will try in the After Dark, which if you are not a member of the After Dark, as we always like to remind you, if you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, our home for all things Ron and Brian, in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a link as to how to become a patron. And Bronze Level or higher gets access to the live After Dark episode. Can't talk tonight. Will happen at 9:30 tonight. But in the meantime, we appreciate you all for joining this show. And as always, we move on to This Week in Racism.
This Week in
Racism.
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 So only one page of racism this week, Brian.
I thought you were going to say only one act of racism.
Unfortunately, no. But the ones that we do have this week are fairly horrible. So we will get into it. We will start off in Monroe, Michigan, where a white supremacist is facing up to a decade in prison for belting a black teenager in the face with a bike chain last June. On Tuesday, Lee Mowat pleaded guilty to the crime and admitted in federal court that he did it because his victim is black. He pleaded guilty to willfully causing bodily injury to 18-year-old Devin Freeland Jr. on June 6th at Sterling State Park. Freeland was retrieving a portable speaker from a vehicle while Mowat yelled racial slurs at his two friends and then started walking towards Freeland, eventually pulling out a bike lock and striking him in the face with it. Mowat, whose attack knocked out several of Freeland's teeth, cut his face and mouth, and fractured his jaw, admitted to repeatedly using racial slurs and telling the group of teens that black people weren't allowed on the beach. He also admitted to attempting to strike another black teen with the bike lock. In addition to facing up to 10 years in prison, Mowat faces a fine of up to $250,000. His sentencing is scheduled for June 24th. Great guy. Going to Minneapolis in the middle of the Derek Chauvin trial, you would think Minneapolis Police Department would be looking to improve their image. But yet, no, they are now conducting an investigation after a white officer was filmed punching a black teenager. A 4-minute video of the encounter circulated on social media after it was shared by the Racial Justice Network on Facebook. The footage was taken by a bystander following a carjacking and police pursuit. The footage begins with a group of black teenagers and Minneapolis and Robbinsdale police arguing. Officers led a teenage carjacking suspect away as the crowd grew increasingly agitated, saying officers had the wrong person. When the conflict escalated, an officer struck a different teen in the face with his fist, knocking him to the ground. Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo has not committed to releasing body camera footage of the encounter. Comments? If you just
no, take- nothing, nothing. These are just, you know what it is? It's just, and I understand why we do it. We do it because we want to expose the fact that no matter where you are, there's just acts of racism going on. But it's just, it's getting tiring for me.
I hear you. I got you.
I'm suffering from racism fatigue.
And you're white. So imagine how those people that have to put up with racism every day deal with it. Going down to Houston, Texas, two black women accused of participating in a racist attack against the Asian owner of a beauty shop in Houston last week claim that they were the ones who were actually targeted and forced to defend themselves after being racially profiled. DaQuisha Williams and Keandra Young were charged with varying degrees of assault from the altercation that took place on March 17th. Jung Kim, who is Korean and owns the beauty shop in Harris County, was reportedly called Little Asian Girl during the attack, which began after Williams and Young allegedly knocked over several wig displays, reportedly leaving the business owner with a broken nose that will require surgery to repair. Kim's son claims Williams and Young, quote, started saying something like some racial words like Asian people shouldn't be in the black market. However, Williams and Young tell a different story. Not only do they claim that they were racially profiled from the moment they entered the store, but they also said the purported video evidence was edited to fit the narrative provided to and by the police. Williams also said that Kim's husband tried to physically block their car as she and Young tried to leave the parking lot. So the rare double racism story we have there.
Well, I mean, we're not sure who the racist is here.
Exactly. But we rarely see that. It's usually very cut and dried. It's very rare that we get one like that. Going out to Palmdale, California, an elementary school teacher who was caught on a video conference call insulting her black sixth grade student and his mother with language laced with racist stereotypes has quit over audio from the session was made public. After a Zoom session between teacher Kimberly Newman, the 12-year-old student, and his mother, Keturah Stokes, ended, neither party officially ended the call. Newman apparently did not realize this and started to complain about the student and his mother to her husband. When Stokes heard Newman's comments, she began recording the teacher's words, which we have audio of right here.
I was complaining, and the teachers are just pissed off beyond belief. It's because she thought I was her friend Natalie. When I called, because I've got a message from the office. Mom's calling. If she's screaming and yelling, nobody calls her back. I called her like 5 million times. I sent her 5 million parents' cards. She never responds. She goes, I call her, right? And leave a message. She doesn't bother to check the message. She just thought the number was her friend Natalie. So she calls me back. My phone rings. I'm like, hello? She goes, hi, Natalie. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this isn't Natalie. This is. Oh. Now she's caught. Because she's answered her phone for the first time the entire year. I mean, these parents, that's what kind of piece of they're black. He's black. They're black family.
I know it.
You know?
I'm seeing what you're not going through.
Yeah, that's what happened. There's no problem there. Your son has learned to lie to everybody and make excuses.
Are you serious? Because
you taught him to make excuses that nothing is his fault. This is what black people do. This is what black people do. White people do it too, but black people do it way more. Oh my god, I just burned her. I just burned her. Everybody is like thrilled all year. And it never would have happened had she not thought I was Natalie.
This is crazy.
Newman was put on administrative leave prior to resigning and refused to participate in a school district investigation.
I'm glad that the video cut. It started with the setup. And
right.
Then they went to the actual racism that was verbalized, because judging from the first section of that video, it didn't seem as if that teacher really knew how to tell a cohesive story. It kind of felt like she was meandering around,
right,
going off on tangents and coming
back.
So you're
back. Saying that she really didn't get to the point of it, and that was kind of frustrating for you to listen to. I understand. Fair enough.
When we're doing This Week in Racism, which I noticed you took off the bumper for.
I want people to read the video.
When we're doing This Week in Racism, I want to hear the racism. I want to see the racism. You know, old school fans of the Ron and Brian podcast. I actually forgot my name for a second there. Fans of the podcast will remember the way we started this was where we were literally we were playing audio every week, pitting people. I'm a little spoiled, I will admit, when it comes to, the Gene Kramers, we miss them.
Right. Well, you should be happy to know, Brian, we've got one more story with audio attached to it. So
I love audio. Go. Let's go.
And this is in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Bayonne, New Jersey is closer to you spiritually than it is to me.
Well, we're going there because Crystal Balance was charged with disorderly conduct and fourth degree bias intimidation after a viral video captured her yelling racist threats at two women following a March 16th car crash. I could read some of what she said, but I feel it's just so much better if we let you listen to her.
Come on.
I could be that, yeah.
Come on, nigga. Hey, this motherfucker. I don't give a fuck. That's a nigga, bitch. And I don't give a fuck. I try to play. I try to talk to you on some real shit. But you want to come across me some type of fucking way. I don't give a fuck.
We get that.
I don't give a fuck, you stupid bitch.
Yep, I'm all of that.
Enjoy jail.
Go ahead. I want to go to jail. Take me the fuck to jail. No, because I accidentally got into her. I fucking accidentally got into her by mistake. No, take me to jail. Take me to jail. Take me the fuck to jail. Because I'll beat that black monkey bitch for fuck.
And I could be all of that, sis.
Take me to jail. Like I said, you fucking stupid bitch. I will beat you the fuck up.
The police report said Valance was, quote, behaving in an erratic and tumultuous manner. Authorities arrested her after she refused to follow police commands to stop yelling at the women. The Bayonne PD is consulting with the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office to determine if Valance should face any other hate crime charges.
I liked the confident tone that the woman recording was used. Like,
yes,
you could just hear like she wanted there to be a problem. However, she realized this other woman was creating such a was digging herself a deeper and deeper hole that literally you were doing yourself a disservice even just replying to her.
I mean, she wanted that smoke.
She wanted it
for it, and she was willing. But you know, she was like, you know what, I'm just gonna film. Calmer heads will prevail here. But I do have to say, for the other woman, I'm always impressed by someone that, you know, when they're told that they're going to jail, are just like, you know what, take me to jail. Like, I don't want to go to jail. I would probably, if someone said you're going to jail, I'd probably drop on the ground and curl up into a fetal position.
But Ron, have you ever been married before?
What's that?
Have you ever been married before?
Yes, I have.
And you've never sat there in that moment and been like, I would rather have somebody come and take me away than have to stay here and spend the next few hours with you?
I have not. Have you, Brian, is the question.
If I had the opportunity to, I absolutely would say that I've hit that point on several occasions.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we will we'll maybe dive into that some other episode.
Perhaps. Maybe an after dark.
Could be a nice after dark topic. In the meantime, no. Beef of the week, Brian.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, what's your beef this week?
My beef.
Yes.
My beef is that the Yankees lost today. I know in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot going on in this world. There's a lot of problems going on. A baseball game is really not that important. But I have been looking forward to the return of baseball for months now. The prospect of attending a game so close. And yet, we lost today, opening day.
We did. And it was heartbreaking because, I mean, bad enough we were up, bad enough we let Toronto come back. But we had, you know, scoring chances in the bottom of the ninth. We had someone on second with no outs. We had people on first and third with one out, and we could not drive a run across. So, yes, I will agree with you. Very upsetting. Hopefully not indicative of what we have to look forward to the rest of the season.
I hope not. But if you had to ask me what's the one thing that really pissed me off this week, it was that.
Okay, fair enough. Can I tell you my beef, Brian?
Hey, Ron, what's bothering you?
Actually, I want you to help me out here because I want you to tell me if it's a beef or if I'm, you know, I understand I'm getting up there. I hit 50 last month. We all know this. Maybe getting a little cranky. But you tell me if this is a legit beef or not.
Okay.
All right. So our treadmill started acting weird. So I needed to have somebody to come out and take a look at it. So, you know, look on Google. Yes.
Was there a child trapped dead in the treadmill?
There was not. There was not. This was not a Peloton. I don't have Peloton money. Oh. And as we know, Peloton products kill children. So we don't do
absolutely
this.
Dangerous stuff.
This was actually a product from last week's sponsor, Nordic Track. It's a Nordic Track treadmill. And so, you know, I Google, I find a website that are like, hey, you know, we work in your area. We do Nordic Track. And there's a form to fill out on the website for them to contact you. So I fill it out on Monday. They're like, how do you want us to contact you? I'm like, text me. I'm great if you can text me. I don't want you to call me. I don't want an email. Just text me. Give them all the information. Bing, bang, boom. That's Monday morning. Monday goes by. Don't hear anything. Tuesday goes by. Don't hear anything. Finally, on Wednesday afternoon, I get an email. Email after I said, text me. So anyway. So I get an email and it's someone like, you know, they're like, oh, this is the price, but we need all this information from you. And I'm like, this is all information that I initially plugged into the website the first time. So like I scroll down and like clearly when you fill out this website, it goes to like a central like area that they send it out. So So my email clearly was seen like Monday morning, like a half hour later, that person forwarded it to the office that was supposed to handle it with the phrase, are you interested in this? Like, why wouldn't you be interested in it? Number one, it's business. Number two,
how do you know that it was sent out with, are you interested in this?
Because the woman who sent me the initial email just forwarded the contact info email that her central office had gotten. So I've got like the whole email chain now.
So you see the string?
Yeah, I see the string.
Oh, that is just sloppy, lazy corporate behavior.
So now
Never send an internal email external. Never.
Right. So now I've seen that she's had this email for 2 days and didn't do anything with it. I can also see that it says right there, text me. And I can also see all the information was already in the email that she's asking for. So I'm like, why the fuck would I use this company if they can't like read and they can't get back to people? So tell me, am I being overly critical or is this a legit beef?
No, I think you're looking at the... the ever worsening level of customer service that is considered acceptable in America.
So I left a message for another company today. Do you think I get a call back, Brian?
No,
of course not. So
now my question to you is, who's using this treadmill?
Both my wife and I have been using it.
You and I have been speaking almost on a daily basis for 3 years. I have never once heard you mention that you went on the treadmill.
Listen,
not once. How's your day going? What's going on? Have you seen LTNC? What's the deal? Never heard you been like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't look at my phone. Like, I was on the treadmill. You can just talk right over me if that makes you feel better. But we know for a fact that thing was covered in dust.
Well, I will say this. It certainly has not been used on a consistent basis, but... You know, now that I've been trying to drop a few pounds, I've gotten back into it over the
past. What number? Where are we up to?
Down 16 pounds now.
Last week was 13. So you continue dropping the weight.
Continue dropping the weight. Yes.
Oh, it's going to be so nice to hug you next time I see you.
You'll be able to put your arms like all the way around me the next time you see me.
I want to put my arms inside of you.
I am keeping it to a pretty solid 1,350 calories a day. That seems to be my.
Thought it was 1,200.
It was a range of like 1,200 to 1,500, but they said pick a number. I'm like, all right, I can usually stay around 1,300. So
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Good question from Janelle. Has Brian ever even seen the treadmill? Have you seen a treadmill, Brian?
In your house?
Well, in my house or in general.
Well, she said the treadmill, not a treadmill, because I do have a treadmill story.
Do you?
If you're interested.
Treadmill story?
Okay. So the pandemic hits, everything is locked down, and New York State refuses to reopen the health clubs. finally, New York announces they're going to reopen the health clubs. I believe it was in September. About a week later or so, I go to the gym, which is located diagonally across the street. I can see it literally when I look out the window. So I go to the gym. I go upstairs to where they have their cardio machines. I get on an elliptical. And you know, when you start, usually like the lights start popping up and you can start, you know, setting your program, whatnot. It did not happen. So I continue, nothing happens. So I get off, move to the next machine, climb on top of that, start, you know, moving around, nothing. At this moment, I am now embarrassed that I need help getting the elliptical to work.
Okay.
So instead of going downstairs and asking at the front desk for somebody to help me with the elliptical, I look over and see people are using the treadmills. So I walk over to the treadmill, got on it, ran for 15 minutes, and fucked up my left leg so much that I needed to, that I was diagnosed with tendonitis of the left knee. Had to do physical therapy for about 6 weeks and will never be getting on a treadmill again in my life.
All right.
I can't run. I cannot run anymore.
It's well, again, I don't want to say that I've been running at this point, but when it's nasty out and I can't walk, yeah, I hop on the treadmill for a while.
Listen, any kind of cardio, get the blood pumping, get that exactly. blood pressure up in a healthy way. It's a great thing. And we want you to be around for longer than shorter.
That's
you're
right.
You're here for the long ride, not a good ride. No, that's not the way I meant it.
I understand.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yes.
You're here for a long time too.
I have to take care of you in your old age.
I thought we were all moving to Costa Rica.
Yeah. Well, we got to start looking at houses, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, so speaking of sports and athletics, should we give the folks an update on our March Madness brackets and side bet?
I don't think so.
You sure?
I don't think anybody's really interested in it. I mean,
really?
Maybe if the people in the comment section chime in that they want to hear an update. Otherwise, I think we could just roll over. Most people don't care about college basketball. I don't know that that's our niche. You know, I don't think that's the market that we're really
applying. I mean, it's
applying
clearly our... not your niche based what? On the results. So anyway, Brian, just so everybody knows, has officially lost our March Madness side bet. I believe you picked none of the Final Four teams. And as such, after the games, since I was ahead of you, you could not possibly catch up because you had no teams left that would score you any points. Would that be a fair of me to say?
Maybe. What's your point, Ron?
But Brian, being the up and up guy he is, did already pay off on his bet. The bet being, as we discussed, one person would have to buy the other 2,000 shares of our favorite stock, Labor Smart. Which was in the 7 cent range.
So well, hold on a second before you go.
Yeah.
When we made the bet, where was the stock price?
It was, I think, 4 cents.
Nope. It was closer to 2.5 cents.
Was it? Oh, that's right. Cause it was around yes. $50 at that.
Cause point. We were talking about betting, $50 cause I love to gamble.
Right. Well,
in a world where Brian likes to gamble, and the shares were about 2.5 cents a share. I said, hey, instead of just transferring $50, why don't we buy more Labor Smart stock? So it was worth 2.5 cents. So I was like, $50? Great. Let's do that. And how'd that work out for me, Ron?
It worked out not so well. Again, set you back about $140. But again, you are a man of your word.
Oh, I believe very strongly in paying off your debts, whenever they start accruing. The last thing you want the reputation for is being a welcher.
Yes.
Unless your last name is Welch, like Raquel Welch, and you're known as, hey, that welcher over there.
But that also leads us to a quick stock update.
Stonks.
As we have mentioned, we are huge fans of the penny stock, LaborSmart, LTNC. So for a quick update, we told you a while back to get in, back when it was around a little over a penny. It closed today at a little over 7 cents. So you would be looking at a 550% return at this point if you had put your money. And their new
in 2 months. Hold on a second, if I may interrupt. In two months.
That's right.
This stock, it's not like we made this recommendation a year and a half ago. 2 months ago, Ron brought this stock to our attention and said, put your money in it. I bought 10,000 shares. I thought I was a baller. No. Ron?
Yes.
What is a baller?
I mean, I got in at 200,000 and now I'm the proud owner of 202,000. Thanks to
you. Asshole. You asshole.
But there is still time to get in. We still see this stock going up to between 50 cents and a dollar by late summer, early fall. They have their hydrogen water product ready to roll. The stock market is closed tomorrow for Good Friday, so you can always get in on that stock come Monday morning. And as always, yes, Brian?
I was going to point out that it closed today at 0.7 cents. However, it hit a high on Tuesday, I believe,
yes,
of about over 8.5 cents a share.
So
there were people buying at 8.5 cents. So there is some upward mobility on this thing.
There you go. And that is stonks.
Stonks.
All right. COVID news this week. People continue to get the vaccine. I am now fully vaccinated. It's been 2 weeks after my second shot.
How does it feel? How does it feel, Ron?
I feel invincible at this point. If nothing else, I just at least feel comfortable going out in public. But we do have some people. We talked the other week about some issues people were having with the AstraZeneca vaccine. This week, we have a story about a Virginia man who suffered a rare reaction to the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. This is Richard Terrell, 74 years old, began suffering strange symptoms 4 days after receiving the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. He started to get a little bit of a rash, which then spread to his entire body, which we have a photo of right here. We can see Mr. Terrell's legs and back and neck just completely covered by the rash. His skin started to peel off. It was stinging, burning, itching. He said, whenever I bent my arms or legs, like the inside of my knee, it was very painful where the skin was swollen and rubbing against itself. He went to the emergency room. It could have been life-threatening if left untreated, but apparently they have been able to get his rash under control, and he is back on the road to good health. But that is if you're listening and you can't see the photo, like, his legs are beet red and you can see the skin peeling off and the back just bumpy red. It's not attractive, to say the least.
Have you ever seen a body that's been taken out of a swamp in Louisiana during July?
It looks like something you would see on the ID channel, without a doubt.
It looks like something that somebody would put on a grill during the summer and call it a kielbasa.
He looks somewhat like an Oompa Loompa. Almost.
His legs remind me somewhat of a inflated candy cane.
I mean, if you've ever grown rhubarb in your garden, that is what his legs look like.
His back looks like it looks like the bottom of an ashtray, after Post Malone and Karl Malone have been smoking blunts for a month.
Now, see, I thought this looked very much like he was an extra in Passion of the Christ.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You like that one, huh?
That's a good one. I don't have a comeback on that one.
All right. But again, these vaccine side effects are very rare, very random, and it should not stop you from going out and getting your COVID-19 vaccine if you are able to.
Speaking of which, there's some slander and lies going on the internet that I've seen. Some people have alleged that I will be getting the Moderna shot tomorrow.
Really? People are saying that? I thought we had kind of nipped that.
Why?
In the play, when they thought you had gotten your first shot,
yes.
Roughly around
a month ago. Yes.
I got it. People are now insinuating that because it's been a month, that you were going to go tomorrow and get the second shot of the Moderna vaccine, which, as we know, is a complete fallacy.
There are people that need these shots way more than I do.
Yes.
As somebody who battled the ravages of the COVID-19 virus a year ago, my body produced natural antibodies that have protected me for a year as I traveled all throughout the Northeast, had sex with many, many women, went to an excessive number of amusement parks where I refused to wear a mask.
There was many videos of you flaunting COVID-19 protocols because of your antibodies.
I went to Wyoming and I participated in the Stop the Steal maskless protests.
And I had asked you not to go to Wyoming because, again, they are one of the two states that have never downloaded the podcast.
I could have downloaded when I was there.
Anyway, well.
Whoa. Janelle just said that I am a fallacy. You know, you can believe some things that I say, not most.
There are things.
But I am not getting the Moderna second shot tomorrow. Absolutely not. So, lies.
All right. Back in the spotlight this past weekend, former President Donald Trump popping up as a wedding guest on Sunday night where the reception was being held at Mar-a-Lago. And at one point, Donald Trump got on the mic to say a few words for the happy couple, John and Meghan Arrigo. But this may shock you, Brian, but the speech had nothing to do with the couple getting married. It was all about him. It was all about Joe Biden. It was railing on the border situation, how things were much, much better with Donald Trump in there. So, I mean, I would imagine if you're paying what I would assume is a pretty high per plate cost at Mar-a-Lago, I would bet the best thing you would want is to have Donald Trump get up and ramble nonsensically for, I think it was about 8 or 9 minutes.
There's no video of that?
It's just way too long. It's way too rambly. It's way too convoluted. But you can Google it out there. And
Really? It is available for Googling?
Oh, yeah. Come on. You know, once he got up there and started talking, people had to take video of it.
Now, did it look like he had shit his pants or no?
Hard to say because he really wears those oversized tuxedo pants. So he could have had a load in his Depends and you wouldn't have even known it. But shockingly enough, Donald Trump was not the most embarrassing politician over the past week.
Who was?
That honor has to go to the representative from the state of Florida, Matt Gaetz, who apparently is being investigated about whether or not he has had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old, whether he paid her money to travel with him across state lines, which makes it child trafficking, that kind of stuff.
Is that wrong? Was he not supposed to do that?
Apparently, that is something you're not supposed to do.
Really?
So the story came out that the Department of Justice was investigating him back during the Trump administration, back when William Barr was running the DOJ. So they were investigating it. Not sure if they dragged their feet because Gates was such a Trump supporter, or they were still gathering information. You know, now the Justice Department, you know, is looking more into it. And so, you know, Gates, of course, fired back and said, this is part of an extortion plot against me. There is a former senior DOJ official who was trying to get money from my family to make this go away. He did a off the rails interview on Tucker Carlson's show.
I saw some of that.
To the point that even Tucker Carlson was like questioning, you know,
like what? Yes, I saw that.
But what is interesting now is that there is actually details coming out that there may have been some sort of extortion plot against the Gates family about the release of an FBI agent who disappeared in Iran in 2007 and is believed to be dead. Now,
what the fuck was that, if I may ask?
So the Washington Examiner published some text messages and documents yesterday that appeared to confirm that the Gates family was approached to make, you know, any future legal or political problems go away by funding an effort to obtain the release of this agent who may or may not be dead. How there is a connection between Gates and this FBI agent or anything else, I'm not exactly sure.
It didn't seem that there was any connection. It seemed like these guys, and then also, this was the other thing you've left out, is that he slid in on national television. If you want to call Fox News national television, I prefer to call it propaganda. He threw in there that his father is wearing a wire at all times as part of a DOJ investigation. Like, right off the bat, anybody that they were trying to capture as a result using his father, he's now been exposed. First off, if I know Matt Gaetz' father, dead to me. He's a fucking snitch. He's a rat. There's nothing worse than a fucking rat. You never give up your friends, and you never. What was the line from Goodfellas?
Come on, man.
Never give up your friends, and you don't say a word. He knew how to. Anyway, but Matt Gaetz' father, rat. He's a snitch. Done.
Bastard. So now there are amongst these.
You can see the there's something. I don't know if it's the beer or the shot kicked in. But Matt Gaetz looks really funny looking. He's uncomfortably.
He's got an odd shaped head, and his haircut does not help him at all.
What's the deal with that? Because he does not. I mean, it's a weird look that seems to be like wildly accepted by the Republicans, and it doesn't seem like many people are sitting there saying we can't get behind a guy that looks like this.
Right. What was even more interesting is the day prior to this report coming out about him being investigated for child trafficking, a report came out that he was considering not running for re-election, leaving Congress at the end of his term to go work for Newsmax.
Right.
So it was it was a very interesting timing how that came out to maybe try and deflect a bit from this news that came out on Tuesday. This Examiner report came out on Wednesday. And, you know, some of the documents the Examiner claimed to have says that there apparently was this has not been confirmed, that there was a grand jury hearing where at least one underage female has testified that Congressman Gaetz has paid her to engage in sexual activities. The document also claims that the FBI had uncovered compromising pictures depicting Congressman Gaetz and an election official involved in a sexual orgy with underage prostitutes in Maitland, Florida, during an unrelated investigation into political corruption and public integrity in another criminal case. So
Gaetz is doing orgies?
This is what the documents that were released by the Examiner claim. Which, of course, Gaetz denied all these allegations on the Tucker Carlson show.
I believe the 17-year-old. I could see him banging a 17.
I don't know if they've spoken to the 17-year-old yet.
Oh, I believe they have. There's no way they wouldn't have.
All right.
I mean, she was probably doing a TikTok dance when they were trying to interview her. She just didn't know how to answer. But, like, I feel like I could see that happening. I just don't see Matt Gaetz rolling up to an orgy.
Okay. The other interesting part of this is that they're also looking into the possibility that the money that he gave to the 17-year-old to travel with him were campaign funds, which would be breaking of the law.
Oh.
And now tonight, prior to us coming on air, CNN released an article claiming that Matt Gaetz has bragged about his sexual escapades and has shown fellow Congress people photos and videos of the women that he has had sex with, at times reportedly on the House floor. Not having sex on the House floor, showing the videos while he's on the House floor. Although, who knows? Maybe he's taken these 17-year-olds in the chamber afterwards.
Wouldn't it be funny if he was showing video of Ted Cruz's wife?
That would be good.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
You're just saying. So, you know, clearly there's a lot more left to come in this story. So we will see what happens as the DOJ investigates more. I would say, Brian, do you think there's any possibility that Matt Gaetz would resign? Because it doesn't seem like Republicans do that. Like, Democrats will resign at any sign of impropriety, for the most part. But Republicans, you can have solid evidence against them, and they're like, well.
Oh, Matt Gaetz could literally be having sex with the 17-year-old. Like, as it's happening on Fox News, and he would sit there and say, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And, you know, if you're going to, you know, I was elected by the people of Florida and they want me to represent them. And I'm going to continue doing it until they tell me not to. Do you remember that time when we had the guy from the Florida candidate that was running for Congress?
He's running in 2022 against Marco Rubio.
Yeah, but see, I researched Matt Gaetz because I thought he was running up against Matt Gaetz.
Oh, no, I remember that.
So I had so much information on the district that Matt Gaetz represents. And as you started the interview, you did not mention Matt Gaetz. And I realized that I had wasted about 40 minutes of solid research time. I was very embarrassed.
Well, I will reach out and see who's running against Matt Gaetz next and see if I can get that person on. Mm-hmm. So your knowledge will not go to waste.
Well, I've forgotten it by now.
All right. So it has been, Brian, hard to believe, a little over a year since the world was introduced to the Tiger King, Joe Exotic.
Yep.
And yet they're
still in prison. Still no pardon. Did not receive a pardon.
But the stars still manage to pop up in the news now and then. And in the past week, Jeff Love, the man who took over or stole the zoo from Joe Exotic, depending on who you believe, he suffered a stroke at an Oklahoma casino that he believes was the result of someone potentially poisoning him.
What is an Oklahoma casino like?
I can't even imagine. Actually, I can't. I think I've been to an Oklahoma. Yeah, because Oklahoma is right above Texas, right?
Are you asking like geography questions? Because I'm going to tell you something. On a Thursday night at 9 o'clock, I am not care. You know what we should do? In all honesty, we should do a test. We should get a map of America with the states marked out.
Right,
But have to fill in as many as we can. And let's see who gets the most right. No studying, but you can't study.
Sure. I'm pretty sure Oklahoma is right above Texas.
I'm going to say that Oklahoma is, that there's a state in between them.
Really? You think?
Can I look it up or no? Are you looking it up?
I'm going to look at a map real quick.
Because I think Oklahoma, but I might be visualizing Kansas.
So Oklahoma-Texas border is a thing. So
fuck.
Say,
fuck.
So Texoma, Texas. Yes. So I will tell you this. I was once at a trade show for work in Texas, and there was a group of us that wanted to gamble, and there wasn't any casinos nearby. And somebody was like, well, you drive like an hour up the road and you'll be in Oklahoma, and there's a casino right across the border.
Right.
So we drove up this highway from Texas to Oklahoma. And I will tell you, this highway literally reminded you of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, if we
Texas Chainsaw Massacre!
It was after dark to begin with. So that was, it was bad.
After dark. But Ron, like, we do after dark at 9:30. So in about 40 minutes. Oh, sorry.
So as we're driving, like, if someone carrying like a bloody hatchet had walked onto the road in front of us, we would not have been surprised. Like, that's how sketchy the entire. And so we cross over into Oklahoma and we go to this casino, and it is built in like this old strip mall. Like, apparently that they, it was the kind of thing where they were just giving out casino licenses, and somebody was like, well, I'm near the border of Texas, I might as well build a casino. And
yeah,
all like very like 80s retro design, like wood paneling and shit like that. And it was, it was not enjoyable, to say the least. And I just remember you had to buy a bunch of $1 chips because it cost you $1 to place a bet. That was like the thing with like the state law at that one point. Like, if you sat down at a blackjack table and you wanted to place a $5 bet, you had to place a $6 bet because the house kept the dollar.
What? They took a dollar just right off the like it's a right tax.
Right off the bat.
You know what? I would like to say that I would not have gambled on principle, but I'm such a degenerate gambler that something tells me I would be like, well, then I'm not going to play a $5 table. I'll sit at the $25 so that that $1 tax actually feels less.
Takes you more mileage for you there. Yeah.
Do you remember how you did?
I mean, I made a little bit of money. I at least paid for the dollars I had to put down for the.
That's really all you can hope for at that point. What was your best gambling session?
Well, I think I told you the story about when I won the Bad Beak jackpot and won like 30.
Yes, yeah, I do remember that now. Yes, okay.
I mean, as far as like otherwise, like I don't gamble a lot of money. Like, when I'm gambling, like, I probably, the best is I won like $600 at blackjack one night.
That's pretty
good. Would probably be my best.
I think I did about 500 once.
Yeah. My biggest thing is I never know when to walk away from the table. And that was one of the nights where I was up big and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk away. I'm going to take my winning. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy it. No. Anyway, back to Jeff Lowe. He was at.
Now, if we remember, Jeff Lowe is the guy that came in and stole the Tiger King's kingdom.
The zoo. Yes. The zoo.
Zoo. I knew there was a better word than kingdom.
So anyway, he was found in an unresponsive state at Windstar World Casino at 3 a.m. and had to be airlifted to a hospital. His wife, Lauren, thought that he was dying. And so now what they claim is that hours before that happened, they went out to dinner in Thackerville, Oklahoma. A man came up, claimed to know them, lingered around. And they feel that he may have spiked Jeff's drink. And then, you know, even though they can't find anything in his system that would indicate he was drugged, they still feel that that's the case.
This feels like a absolute publicity ploy. I'm not saying the guy didn't have a stroke. What I'm saying is that, like, somebody in his camp or whatnot was just like, well, how can we make this newsworthy?
Yeah. Because
who's going to try and poison this guy right now?
And listen, he's only 53. It's young to have a stroke. But it's not like, if you watch the Tiger King series, it's not like he looked like the picture of health. Like, he doesn't look like a man that has taken well care of himself over the years.
Do you think it's warranted to rewatch it? Should we rewatch Tiger King? Because you only watched it once, correct?
I did only watch it once.
Would you be up for going back?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. It's a lot of commitment.
I'm still horrified by the Walmart meat truck.
That is one of the more disturbing parts of the story.
I changed as a human being. It affected my DNA when they showed the workers peeling out the better of the expired meats so they could eat it from the cells before they would go to the animals. That, I remember, was a game changer line. Speaking of which, Ron.
Yes.
What are you watching?
So I finished up Counterpart. The two season series on Amazon Prime.
J.K. Rowling Simmons.
Yes, J.K. Rowling Simmons. I liked it. I would recommend it. It wrapped up very nicely at the end of the second season. So I would give it a watch. Still need to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League. That's on my list. And Godzilla versus King Kong came out this week.
Are we watching that? I will watch it this weekend. I'll be around this weekend because I have cleared my social calendar. I have no plans.
All right.
I'm not saying anything is going to take place tomorrow that would make me want to clear my social calendar for the weekend. But if you are up for watching Godzilla versus King Kong, I will watch it with you. Don't understand the concept of a King Kong versus Godzilla movie. I do not know if this is a sequel of a Kong movie or a Godzilla movie. I know this is what we call in the a crossover.
I do think it's a kind of a sequel to The Last Godzilla because I think Millie Bobby Brown is in this one and was in that one too.
I thought she died.
I don't know. I didn't watch the last one, so who knows?
No. Didn't Bobby Brown's daughter die?
No, that Bobby Brown's daughter died. This is Millie Bobby Brown, not the same.
But what's it? I thought his daughter's name was Millie Bobby Brown.
And we are getting an update from Billy that this is the fourth movie.
Fucking hell! I don't need that shit. I do not need. I hope he's fucking with me. I genuinely hope that kid's fucking with me because I don't need to know that this is the fourth in a series Monsterverse.
I shared that just to piss you off because I knew it was.
Is this DC or Marvel?
It is neither. It's completely separate.
So who owns the rights to these?
That I don't know.
If only they could do an NFT out of a Godzilla movie.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure that is next on the list. Brian, we also need to say goodbye this week. Our one lone celebrity obituary, Watergate figure G. Gordon Liddy, passing away at the age of 90. Brian, I have to think, especially listening to you discuss snitches earlier in this episode, that you have to have a profound respect for G. Gordon Liddy. Because he was, I think, the only person involved in Watergate that did not take a deal, did not testify against Richard Nixon, did his prison time, and the day that he died, would not talk about the Watergate situation.
I have lots of respect for him. I think he was a scumbag. I think what he was doing was very detrimental to the political landscape of America. I think Richard Nixon was terrible. I think he set this country in a terrible direction. However, people are not all bad nor all good. And in this situation, G. Gordon Liddy, I think what we're seeing is clearly an asshole scumbag who's probably slightly fascist, but who had principle, who had morals, who had ethics, who had values.
Yes, all of the above.
He never snitched. I do have respect for a criminal that sits there and says, listen, I got into doing criminal shit because I knew I was a criminal. And part of that code is you don't speak up. You don't blab. You don't point fingers. And you don't cop a plea deal. You do the crime. You do the time. And then you move on.
And it didn't impact his career. I mean, he came out, he did books, he did speaking tours, he had a radio show for a long time.
He did her with the wiffle ball bat, y'all.
he was an actor. He appeared on Miami Vice and in other TV shows and movies, sometimes portraying himself, sometimes portraying a character. But he was someone that, you know, just he turned into that skid of, like you said, he was a criminal, he was a bad person, and he flaunted that, and it did nothing really to make him non-marketable in various entertainment areas.
Yeah, but he was always a friend. I mean, it's not like he appeared at WrestleMania 4. I mean, he never hit that mainstream. I mean, yes, Miami Vice, but it was a two-part episode, and then he was gone.
I'm getting an update, Brian. G. Gordon Liddy was a judge during the Mr. T boxing match at WrestleMania 2. So, joke's on you, my friend. He was mainstream enough to be on WrestleMania.
Oh, the WWE is such trash. Oh, my God.
So can we, I guess since it's been brought up, we do need to work this this story in. For those of you that follow the WWE or watch the WWE Network, their streaming service, you know probably at this point that WWE Network has moved over to the Peacock app on TV. And now NBC Universal, who part of Comcast, part of Peacock, is now scrubbing racist scenes from classic WWE matches before they get added to the Peacock streaming service.
So you're saying, like, are there any examples of racist scenes that the WWE put out there?
Why, it's funny you should ask, but we've got a couple here. First, going all the way back to 1990, WrestleMania 6, which featured a match between Roddy Piper and Bad News Brown. Roddy Piper decided to paint half of his body black before wrestling.
Why is that racist?
I guess because he said, you know... He said, I hear my opponent, he's from Harlem, he's proud to be from Harlem. He's like, now I can stand here and I can be black. I can be white. I can be both.
I thought that was a homage to the Seinfeld episode where he talks about the black and white cookie.
I don't think so, no. Funny story, if I can on that. Apparently, Andre the Giant stole the paint remover that Roddy was going to use to take the black paint off, and he had to fly home painted half black and half white.
No.
That is
really?
Yeah. There is another one where Vince McMahon is talking to John Cena.
Who you can't see, obviously.
You can't see, but you could see Vince McMahon as he used the N-word in a interview with John Cena.
I will say this. I will say it again. The WWE is trash.
And Billy points out a good point. I do remember some of these things. There was a skit where D-Generation X, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, X-Pac were in blackface when they were feuding with the Nation of Domination. So that apparently is gone now too. Apparently, blackface from the past in the WWE persona non grata on the Peacock network.
You know, Ron, I'm very conflicted about you. There are certain times where, like, you know, you're talking, and I think for the most part, I look up to you because I feel like you kind of had your shit together. I think you're smart. I think you're intelligent. I think you're funny. I would thruple with you given the opportunity to.
Sure, I mean,
I've never hid that back. But then out of nowhere, you start speaking knowledgeably about the WWE. And then I'm like, oh, no, hold on a second. He's still like the trash kid from upstate New York. And it, like, it hurts. It genuinely hurts because we do this show where, like, I spend like an hour being like, man, I'm lucky that this guy does a show with me.
And then you realize that, you know, I have my faults, Brian. I'm not perfect.
Garbage. Speaking of which, do we want to talk about your faults?
Maybe that's a good one to save for After Dark as well.
No. I have corrections from last week.
Oh, son of a bitch. I forgot.
That was my transition. What the heck were you talking about?
I don't know. Yes, I apologize. It is time for corrections.
I don't get any music.
We got to work on a correction theme. So I will.
That's your, you know, one of the things that I love about this show, and you can kind of see it in the comments section, is that, you know, we've got some fans who are very loyal, very dedicated, who follow what we say and are not afraid to point out where we go wrong.
Right.
I certainly do not claim to be perfect. Ron, we know you're not perfect, except when it comes to stunks.
Most of the time. Oh, I'm sorry. Should have had that queued up. But I don't want to interrupt corrections with the stonks music.
Okay. But you made a cut. You made two mistakes last week. I made one.
All right.
So these are some of the corrections. And I know you don't follow the Gmail that, you know, for listener submissions as closely as I do. So I pulled out three corrections. There were others which I did not necessarily agree with. Some of them were more opinion based or whatnot. We can talk about that off show. But these are three corrections from last week. Last week when we were talking about cricket, Ron, you mentioned that the Muslim Commercial Bank held the record for the greatest margin of victory by runs in a match when they beat the Water and Power Development Authority in 1977 when they won by 609 runs.
Everyone remembers that.
Unfortunately, Ron, you're forgetting that in 1929, the New South Wales defeated Queensland by 685 runs. So the 609 from the Muslim Commercial Bank did not overtake the 685 by New South Wales.
All right, I missed that one. All right, fair enough. I apologize. What's next?
Just do your research.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I fucked up last week when we were talking about the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. I said that splicing is the process of copying a gene from the DNA to the mRNA. Actually, it's called transcription. I don't know how I could make that mistake. It's transcription. Transcription causes the new mRNA strand to become double-stranded by producing an identical strand known as the transfer RNA, the tRNA strand. And in addition, the RNA is therefore unable to form structures from base pairing. Clearly, stupid mistake on my part. I should have known better. So I would like to apologize for that.
Good, good.
One last one, Ryan. This one, I think this might be a little personal. Last week when we were talking about franchises, you brought up Quiznos and you said that Quiznos was out of business. Actually, and this has only been brought to our attention from a loyal listener, Quiznos did file bankruptcy in 2014 after ruining the financial well-being of thousands of hardworking entrepreneurs in America who stupidly signed up for a failed business model despite the ridiculous fact that they did not do their due diligence. While peaking with 5,000 franchises in 2017, Quiznos is now down to 300 franchises in 2020. From a high of 5,000 down to 300, that's a lot of broken hearts out there.
Many, many out there. Well, thank you. And I apologize for my shoddy research. Before we get out of here, Brian, real exciting news I know for you and other residents of the state of New York, as recreational marijuana use has now been legalized. You can have up to, 3 ounces of the sweet kush on you without having any issues?
I have no idea. It's not really important to me. You can have 3 ounces of the marijuana flower on your possession, and police have no right to arrest you.
And now apparently the NYPD is just telling people not to get involved with the exchange of marijuana on the street unless money is involved. So you can actually, and this is what's different from the New York law than some other states, is the ability to smoke marijuana in public, which you can't do in states like Colorado. So that is very unique. Brian,
wait. New York now, you can just smoke it on the street?
You apparently can light it up in public.
Oh, that's terrible. Listen, what people do in their home is fine. I get it. It's not a big deal. But I don't want to walk the streets of New York and just have people lighting up left and right.
It's surprising that you would take that angle, but all right. Anything else this week, Brian, or is it about time to close on out?
Get some fucking merch, people.
You can go on to ronandbrianpodcast.com. We have our web store there where you can do some shopping. Again, if you go to the Patreon and become a member, there are different things you can get there, anywhere from stickers to magnets to mugs to organic tote bags to sweatshirts. There is a lot of different stuff you can get there. We have on our Facebook page, if you go to the Teespring, there are baseball caps. There are, what else do we have there? We've got the neck gaiters. We've got other sweatshirts. We've got more mugs. Just so much merch. And, you know,
it's tote bags, stickers.
It always makes us feel good.
Shot glasses. Look at that. Frosted shot glasses.
When we're walking around and we see people wearing their Ron and Brian podcast merch, I get a little choked up. Yeah. I don't know about you, Brian.
I like to make eye contact but not say anything. Like, it's one of those moments where it's like they know that you know, but you don't have to say anything.
Exactly.
I like that.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us this week. If you are a Patreon subscriber, we will see you after dark shortly. Brian, anything else before we
go? Next week is a big episode.
Right.
We are doing episode 150. We barrel
towards our 3-year anniversary.
And we have a lot of plans for the episode for the third anniversary. I'm trying to get Matt Gaetz. I know you're trying to get G. Gordon Liddy to talk about Watergate. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough interview now, but I have faith in you, Ron. I think you're going to do it.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Again, if you're our Patreon subscribers, we'll see you in a little bit. For everyone else, we will catch you next week.